Okay, now the intro to this should be very calm, okay. Very easy, very straight. Right. This is Market Scope. We don't hype this, okay?
Okay.
In 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Market Scope with Bill Wayne on the DX Audio Service for September 93.
WFIN 1330.
Yeah!
Thanks, Brad. Little Rock, part 3. That's what we've got for you this month on Market Scope. I'm Phil, the intro and outro guy, as I intro one of MarketScope's most frequent contributors, Mark Marino.
Thank you, Phil. This is Mark Marino welcoming you back to continue our scan of Little Rock Radio.
US 97 FM, Trisha Yearwood. That's what I like about you. And for that, her and Don Henley kind of cutting and scratching a little bit on there. A walk away, Joe. Stay tuned. We got the weather on the way for you here in just a bit. Congratulations to Tracy Southern this morning, winner of the Blockbuster video movie trivia game. Well, there's about four for you. 1988 was the year. Best picture, according to the Academy Awards, was Rain Man, starring, Dustin Hoffman and Tom Cruise. Stay tuned. We'll check the weather scan for you here in just a bit on the way from US 97. US 97 FM, that is Mary Chapin Carpenter and Passionate Kisses. 7:54, the clock just turned. Good morning to you. Stay tuned. We'll check that weather scan for you on the way next.
Play trivia quiz evenings Monday through Friday at 8:30 on US 97.
Arkansas weather. Gonna be clear and 49 in Hot Springs.
US 97
97 FM. That's kind of ironic. We kicked off the hour with former lead singer of that group right there, Restless Heart, and wrap it up this hour with Restless Heart, their latest called Mending Fences. Good morning to you. Welcome to work. It's now 8 o'clock at Arkansas's Power Station, KQUS. Hot Springs, Little Rock time for ABC News.
From ABC News, I'm Joe Templeton. The White House and Congress apparently are closer on long-term budget plans.
The next station is a simulcast. It's a big band satellite format, the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And I'm not sure exactly of the frequencies, but it's something like 97.5 and 107.1.
It's days like this that you need our kind of music. Keep the dial right here on KGKO.
I saw it on the radio.
KGKO.
I saw it on the radio.
I just heard from a person who said they found a dog on Crossroads, in the vicinity of Crossroads Baptist Church. It's a black and white dog, has no collar. Seems to be a friendly little puppy, and if you've lost it, call 776-8510, or you can call me here at the station. We're expecting mostly cloudy skies, breezy conditions today, high near 50. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low of 38. Right now, we've got 49 degrees under cloudy skies at KGKO.
No, to an offer from the American.
98.5, this is Craig O'Neill coming your way with some really good stuff.
Oh, no, give me that mic. Never give the comedian from the Comedy House the microphone. Kenny Bob with the microphone from the Comedy House. I'm also with Ron Kenny. Do not be confused. They're appearing tonight. When are your show times?
8 and 10 o'clock. And speaking of time, if you see a comedian this time of the morning, he's usually been up all night, but that's not the case.
You all actually went to bed?
Yeah, which is kind of weird. There was some days we never used to go to bed, but we did this morning.
Do you dream jokes? Do you dream about a joke, wake up and write it down, and that type of thing?
I think that might have happened once, but I don't remember it.
How about you, Kenny Bob?
I dream about you, Craig. 98.5. That's all I dream about, Craig.
He's been to the Bill Clinton School of Pandering. It's 7:53, 7 minutes before 8 o'clock. And it's 36 degrees, and we have actually, Kenny Bob's going to make his network television debut tonight.
Well, it's not a debut, Craig, but it's another,
oh, it's not a,
it's just another check on Major Dad at 7:30 Central tonight.
All right, what's the part you're playing tonight?
I'm playing the part of a guy auditioning for a radio show at Wendy's.
You can come in and actually meet these comedians. We still have shirts left. We've got the biscuit special going on, 98.5 cents for the biscuit and a small cup of coffee. The Wendy's off Markham, next to Shackelford. And Ron, is this your first visit to Little Rock?
This is my first time to Wendy's in Little Rock. But no, this is great. I've never been interviewed by a salad bar before. And this is great.
Don't call Craig a salad bar.
I've been called a vegetable, but never a salad bar. Usually on Sunday afternoon by my family. So what do you think of Little Rock? What's your favorite part of the city from what you've seen?
The buffet we were at yesterday.
Actually, Kenny, you're the one that ought to like buffets.
I love buffets. I just love buffets, man. I could eat a safe. Can we say Safeway?
No, you could. I mean, you know, you look like you could be in the Craig O'Neill Championship belly flop team.
Well, I gained a lot of weight when I quit smoking.
Now,
I gained 40 pounds when I quit smoking, and I feel terrible.
Oh, listen, bless your heart. Now, listen, you have been to the Phillips Classic in Northwest Arkansas.
That's right.
And I heard a rumor about you that you tore them up there last year. Have you been invited back?
Yes, sir, I have. I'm going to be this year, Roy Clark. I worked two nights last time at the Classic, and they invited me back. And well, because John Phillips has some photos of me that I'd rather not discuss.
So that's why you're going back?
So until I get the negatives, I'll be more than happy to come to Arkansas anytime anyone calls me, including you, Craig. Craig O'Neill, 98.5.
Listen to it. Oh, man. He's got that down, doesn't he? He's got it down. Come visit us. We'll be here for another few minutes. And coming up, Charles Davis is going to update you. Don't forget, Ron Kenny, Kenny Bob tonight at the Comedy House.
Thank you, Craig. We appreciate it.
Okay, in Breckenridge Village, it's 7:55 on B98.5.
As announced on that, we have clear skies, 38 degrees at B98, KURB AM and FM Little Rock, B98.5.
It's 8 o'clock. I guess I'm headed home. That concludes stop number 6 of the Wendy's 10-City Tour. Special thanks to the Wendy's off of Markham next to Shackelford. And again, thanks to the Comedy House in Breckenridge Village. Thanks to everybody, staffers, for being here. It's been another great one on B98.5. B98.5 with Craig O'Neill. It's 8:05, 5 minutes after 8 o'clock, and it's 39 degrees. And we have a tour group in the studio right now from Pulaski Heights Junior High. Okay, class, please, class, hold it down, please. Thank you all for being here on the tour. Does anybody have any questions you'd like to ask me?
Mr. O'Neill, could you prank my mom?
I'm sorry. Say again.
Could you prank my mom?
Prank your mother?
Yes, please.
What is her name?
Joyce Lemon.
Joyce Lemon. And what does she do?
She's a draft engineer.
Draft engineer. All right. Oh, great. You came prepared. She's got a number here. Very good. You were very smart. All right. You got it. Calling Joyce Lemon. All right. Everybody be quiet. Everybody in the tour group be quiet, please. Y'all are all going to get extra credit for this. Joyce Lemon, the draft engineer. Here we go.
Hello?
I need to talk to Joyce Lemon, please.
This is she.
Ms. Lemon, this is Bill Willett over at TGI Fridays.
Uh-huh.
And we got a small problem here, and I was hoping you could help us with it over the phone without having to come look at it. The cable stopped up from the keg to the spigot, and for some reason we can't get any Bud Light out of just the spigot. We're having the full body beer's okay, but the Bud Light won't come through the spigot.
I see. Well, who told you to call me?
Huh?
Who told you to call me?
Well, I just looked it up in the book, and then they said you were a draft engineer. And
I'd say just cut the line and just suck it on out, you know?
Cut the line and suck it?
Sure, why not?
Now, that is not very hygienic, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's... These things have to remain sterile. We have a health department we have to put up with. If this gets out, we're in trouble.
Who's going to tell?
You won't? So you say,
I don't think so. I think you probably know my daughter, do you?
Could she come out and look at this?
She probably could.
Because we're not about to cut and suck.
I think that's your best bet, though.
Well, all right, then. Let me leave you my number.
Okay.
B. 98.5.
I was afraid of that.
And Joyce, your daughter is standing right here.
Oh, good.
As a part of a Pulaski Heights Junior High School tour. Did you know she was going to tour the radio station?
Yes, I did.
Everybody say hello.
Hi.
I was showing them how a prank worked.
Oh, good.
Or in your case, almost worked.
B98.5.
We have a most unique station here at 99.5 on the dial. It's KYFX. They call it Foxy 99. And they're playing kind of a Quiet Storm type format. Slow Black Urban with Jazz.
New music from Dina Carroll on XC99, the heartbeat of the city, so close. It's 2:51, and stay close to your radio. Because next, it's Whit Kincaid to get you through the remainder of the workday. Then he'll get you home safe and sound. Followed by Monica Devine tonight at 8 with Soft Notes. And at midnight, it's Foxy 99 After Hours with Brandy Alexander. Great music for the late night set. I'll end my show today with Fat Burger, Imagine This, and join me again tomorrow, 10 until 3, on Foxy 99. Have a great day.
The call letters, KYFX. The frequency is 99.5. Heartbeat of the city.
Foxy 99, the heartbeat of the city. Good afternoon, everyone. Whit Kincaid here with you at 3:11 in the afternoon. That was Steve Bach. He's coming to Little Rock March 14th. That's a Sunday for two shows at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. at the Afterthought on Kavanaugh Boulevard. If you need any information on that, give me a call at 666-3699. The vocalist on that, Shelby Flint, the name of it was Mercury. Before that, Go West, Still in Love. And bringing us into the hour was Grover Washington and Nancy Wilson with a little tune called Your Love. I got George Benson on the way, too, with Moody's Mood. Well, there's no rain in the forecast, believe it or not. This should make for a smoother driving conditions on your way home from work. But we'll keep an eye on things for you with traffic reports beginning next hour. We should keep an eye on this crazy world we live in, too, so we'll bring you CNN News this afternoon as well. Maybe even a contest thrown in as well, and it's kind of an automotive thing. That's all I'm going to tell you about it right now. Well, that's the lineup for Thursday at the Heartbeat of the City, Foxy 99.
Taking you home, the heartbeat of the city, KYFX, Foxy 99.
There I go, there I go.
Young Country, KDAC 100, that is Aaron Tippin. I have done my best, and you've done your best. We have had just a ton of phone calls off of the duck call lines, 433-1003, voting on your favorite new Young Country song for the Hot 5 at 5. I think I've got them compiled the way they went, actually, the way the votes tabulated out. So that's coming up in just a couple of seconds. Circle your calendar. Get ready. It is the first annual Arkansas Cow Chip Throwing Championship, Saturday, March 20th, Dickey Sports Complex. My kind of event. Junior Deputy Athletic Fields, 2200 Cantrell. Get your entry forms from the Junior Deputy Sheriff's Association office, from any Pulaski County Deputy Sheriff, by the way, or you can pick them up here at the studios, KDAC 100, while you're driving home, 314 Main Street, north of the Rock. You can do that. You can call the deputy office at 372-7640. They'll fax one to you if necessary. We want an Arkansas champion cow chip thrower to go to the national competition in, what is that, Beaver, Oklahoma? I think in April. That's what it's supposed to be. So if you think you can throw cow chips, we want to talk to you.
Can I help you, sir?
No, but
Arkansas Feather Forecast.
From KDDK, Jacksonville, Little Rock, here's a look at your official four-day forecast. For tonight, we have just a slight chance of a shower or two. Nothing major, no snow or anything in the forecast. A nice low 38. Partly cloudy tomorrow, mild with a high of 55. Saturday, some clouds, but warmer with a high of 60. And then Sunday, mostly cloudy. Slight chance of showers, again, the high around 60 degrees. 46 currently at First Jacksonville Bank and Trust. It is 45 and cloudy at Radio Center, home of KDAC 100. We are kicking off today's Hot 5 and 5, the five most requested songs of the day, and the fifth most requested song comes from Colin Ray. It's called Love Me, and it is next on the duck.
Arkansas's new young country.
That was K-Duck at 100.3. Well, we're out of time, so we'll finish up Little Rock's FM dial the next time we meet. Until then, this is Mark Marino saying 73s and good DX.
Thank you, Mark. Looks like we'll finish up Little Rock next month. By the way, here's a Market Scope reminder. After Dark number 4 features a 1 hour and 15 minute Market Scope of Lima, Ohio, with Fred Vobey doing all kinds of barbecue chicken commercials and stuff. All you guys have a great time in Enfield for the convention. Look out for the SWAT team and don't get too personal in the Find the Sticker contest. For all the audio service crazies out here in the Midwest, I'm Phil Wayne. Speaking of crazies, here's the guy with a mobile home filled with cassette decks, John Bowker.
Those were the good old days. Those were the good old days. The years go by, but the memory stays. And those were the good old days.
Historical Moments in Radio. Hello again, this is John Bowker with another story from the annals of radio broadcasting. And today I have a number of brief stories taken from a source book on the history of radio and television called American Broadcasting, published a few years ago by Hastings House. Our first story centers on the first day of broadcasting in the United States. Oh, now wait, you've all heard the story about the famous broadcast of the election returns, but there are some details you may not have heard before. First of all, the transmitter ran at 125 watts. It was in a circuit called the MOPA, the Master Oscillator Power Amplifier circuit, which is a very difficult circuit to control. And in fact, whenever the announcer spoke, the transmissions were basically frequency modulated, FM. But be that as it may, here's the first little detail you don't learn in the usual history books. The announcer for that broadcast was Lee DeForest. Yes, the same Lee DeForest who invented the Audion radio tube and the 125-watt Oscillon tube used in the transmitter. His first announced transmission was indeed on election night, and apparently he even had an audience for his broadcast. It might really never have made much notice, except at 11 o'clock that night, Lee DeForest predicted on the air the outcome of the national election. And he got it wrong. Now, interestingly, several metropolitan newspapers got it wrong in their early editions the next day, too. And to this day, it's not clear just how those newspapers got their information. Well, the last little detail is that Lee DeForest was on the air in New York City from the High Bridge Tower in the Bronx. And he announced that Charles Evans Hughes would be the next president. In fact, Woodrow Wilson had actually won the election. So isn't it strange now? Maybe you're wondering why KDKA in Pittsburgh got the only real mention about its first broadcast. And we know that WWJ in Detroit was on the air that same night as KDKA doing the same election returns. Well, let me drop the other shoe. It turns out that the election that Lee DeForest covered from his New York City transmitter was the election of 1916, not 1920. And it was virtually the only broadcast from that transmitter in the Bronx, because early in 1917, all radio stations in the United States were taken over by the federal government as part of the declaration of war on Germany. But now, 3 years later, on March 1st, 1920, the Congress allowed all radio stations in the U.S. to go back on the air. Now, by then, Lee DeForest had further developed his power tubes for radio transmitters and had moved his operations to 46th and Broadway. That's just north of Times Square in the old World Tower building. With the government's go-ahead and with the new licensed call sign 2XG, Lee DeForest started broadcasting phonograph records. He had a few announcements and occasionally featured a soloist on his station. All was going very well until the federal authorities closed him down once again. Why? Well, it seems Mr. DeForest had specified the High Bridge antenna site in his application for a radio station license, and when he moved to the Times Square buildings, he neglected to modify his license. But the DeForest transmitter was the best to be found, March 1920 anyway, and the interest of the Detroit Daily News had been attracted. The Daily News bought the DeForest transmitter in New York, moved it to Detroit, and that became the beginning of the story of WWJ. You see, the WWJ predecessor, 8MK, used that DeForest transmitter to begin operations on August 20th, 1920. It's interesting, isn't it, how snips and snatches of history tie together. Now, I really don't have the time this month to fill out the next story, but you may recall that one of the earliest achievements of David Sarnoff, who later ruled RCA and NBC for decades, was as a telegraph operator in New York. His station was owned by the American Marconi Company in the John Wanamaker building in New York. And in fact, it was that station that maintained radio communication with the ill-fated Titanic as the Titanic was sinking in the North Atlantic in 1912. Well, that Marconi station was getting out of date by 1914, and the owner was about to close it down. But Sarnoff had convinced them there might be a market for transmitting music and market reports on the air. So American Marconi said, sure, go ahead, Sarnoff, and rebuild the station for music and voice. But then came World War I, and with it confusion about who was supplying the Navy with radio gear. That led the Congress later in 1919 to set up the RCA Radio Corporation of America. In fact, American Marconi Company was sold to RCA, and along with that, Sarnoff was the general manager. You know, I can only hope that radio's future is as exciting as its past. For Historical Moments, this is John Bowker.
Sounds like John and Linda are in Woodstock, New York. John, stay away from the purple tapes. Stay away from the purple tapes. I'd like to pass along some information concerning the National Radio Club Convention and also address here or two. First of all, if you'd like to put together a market scope for the DX Audio Service and would like to get in touch with Phil Wayne, his address is Phil Wayne, W-A-Y-N-E, at 135 and a half Midland, M-I-D-L-A-N-D, in Findlay, F-I-N-D-L-A-Y, Ohio, 45840. If you'd like to talk with Phil, telephone number is area code 419-423-4420. Please call between 10 o'clock in the morning and 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That's the best time to get in touch with him. And I'd like to just make a little mention as far as the DX Audio Service market scope. What you need to do is basically record just the stations in your primary area, no DX, please, and put them on a cassette or reel-to-reel, accompanied with some explanation as far as the tape, you know, some details, maybe a little history on the station. And that would be all that is needed. If you need specific details, give Phil a call or write to him at that address. From the executive board of the National Radio Club, as we approach the 93 National Radio Club Convention in Enfield, Connecticut, members need to be thinking about the 1994 convention. If you'd be interested in hosting next year's convention, you might be prepared to make a presentation at the business meeting, or at least contact National Radio Club Executive Board Chairman Ken Chatterton with a firm bid, including complete details such as room and meal prices and some of the proposed activities. You can contact Ken Chatterton, C-H-A-T-T-E-R-T-O-N, at the National Radio Club Publication Center, Post Office Box 164, Mansville, New York, M-A-N-N-S-V-I-L-L-E, New York, 13661, USA. From the DX Time Machine from 50 years ago, from the August 14th, 1943 DX News magazine, the FCC had granted a license to Baylor University of Corpus Christi, Texas, to operate the former Border Blaster Station, XEAW, on 1010 kilohertz with 50,000 watts daytime only. And only 25 years ago, from the July 6, 1968 DX News magazine, Mike Silvera in Jamaica reported regular reception from powerful Deep South American stations such as CP34 on 680 kHz, LU9 on 670 kHz, CX16 on 850 kHz, LV7 on 900 kHz, PRG2 on 1040 kHz, PRA3 on 860 kHz, and LR3 on 950 kHz. But Mike up in Iceland reported that May conditions were absolutely horrible, although some Brazilian stations happened to creep in. From 10 years ago, from the July 18th, 1983 DX News magazine, KYST in Houston, Texas inaugurated the first all-Beatle format in May of 1993. It must have been a dog because I don't even know if it's around anymore.
Idea for you.
What's that?
A brand new column for the DX Audio Service.
Oh, yeah? Well, like what?
Well, basically, I want to know what you can hear on various frequencies around the country.
Oh, you mean like take 1500 in Washington, D.C., listen to that a while, and then move out to Minneapolis and listen to that a while?
No, Bonehead. See, that's basically market scope.
Well, yeah.
Oh, well, that's not what I want.
Okay, sorry.
See, I want to know how well does the 1500 from Minneapolis come into Des Moines, or how about WTOP coming into Charlotte?
Yeah, all right, I get it. So you want DXAS members all across the country to send their tapes in from their listening location, and then you you can edit them together.
No, Bonehead. I come over the ideas, you do the work.
Yeah. But wait a second. Don't we have a column like this already?
Well, I just started something as an experiment, but see, this is an audio magazine. What I want to do is hear how the station sounds from the listening point. I don't want to hear about it. I want to hear it.
Yeah, I understand that. All right, since I'm going to do the work, I better talk to our friendly DX Audio Service listener and tell him slash her how to help.
That's right.
All right. Listener, are you listening?
Yes, I'm listening.
All right, here's what I need. If you want to hear a column like this, make a tape of the radio dial, one in the daytime, one in the nighttime. Nice if you can mix a microphone in there with the radio so you can tell me what station you're hearing. Start at the bottom of the dial and work your way up. Announce each frequency as you listen to it. Tell me the call letters and location of the station you're hearing. Give me about 10 seconds of audio from that station. If you can turn your radio and get another station on that frequency, do that as well. Be sure to announce it. Then move on to the next frequency and tell me that frequency. Work your way all the way up to the top. One more thing. Pick a good location so we don't have a lot of in the mix, and also a nice day so you don't hear a lot of. All right, so let's see. Anything else?
Will you give them credit when their tape appears in the column?
Yes, I'll give them credit.
Do they need a legal ID?
No, don't need a legal ID.
Do you pay?
No, I don't.
What are we going to call this column?
Here's an idea.
Band scan.
Band scan, huh?
Band scan.
Hey, I like that. I like
it. Thanks. I thought you would.
Oh, one more thing.
Yeah.
Where should they send their tapes?
Oh, yeah. Tapes. Send your tapes to Jim Snowbarger.
Okay, how do you spell that?
Snowbarger.
Okay.
At 3046 280th Street.
Oh, okay.
Marshalltown, Iowa.
Spell that.
Marshalltown.
Iowa.
Iowa is IA, by the way. 50158.
Okay, now aren't you glad I thought of this?
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot.
If you remember on our last edition of the DX Audio Service, we had a thing where I just read a band scan column from Eric Buneman on the tape. Well, Jim has volunteered to put together a audio band scan, and it's not hard to do. Just start on your bottom half of your AM dial and start trekking upwards to 1600 and record the stations and send them to Jim Snowbarger at the address which he gave. And what we'll do is we'll try out this column. If we get people who are interested in putting together material on the next two editions, then we'll keep the column. Otherwise, what we'll do is we'll put it over here in this device. Which basically is where we put columns that just don't work out, if you know what I mean. So we'll see if that that works out, okay? And on a conversation I had with one of our DX Audio Service members the other day, I found out that he has basically the same other hobby that I do, amongst other a lot of the hobbies. I collect stuff with radio station call letters on it, old microphones, and also I collect novelty records. Many of the different records that you may have heard, comedy type stuff. Well, like the barking dogs that you heard, and a lot of other things. But if you have a hobby such as that, something which is somewhat radio related, record collecting, perhaps stamp collecting, or items that belong to radio stations, such as coffee cups or stuff like that, by all means, put those on the DX Change. You'd be surprised how many members of the DX Audio Service share some of those other hobbies with you, and you might be able to pick up a few contacts. So if you're into either record collecting or air check collecting, maybe trading tapes with people that have air check collections, or maybe you just want to make a copy of a tape for somebody and in turn get a copy of a tape from their area, be sure to put that on the DX Change. Just drop it on a card or a letter and send them to us here at the DX Audio Service to my attention. And speaking of sending stuff to us, it's time now for KRAP Radio News. This is some news stories which really are bizarre. Let's put it this way. The first one comes out of the Lima News here. Our local car dealer, Joe Iveson Chevrolet, in conjunction with WZOQ, otherwise known as 92 Zoo, presents Dr. Silkini and the original Buried Alive, as Joe Iveson will bury 92 Zoo's Kevin Fox for 48 hours. You can view this event Tuesday and Wednesday for a $1 donation to help the Boy Scouts of America. How bizarre. An ambitious letter carrier is sentenced for mail theft. From Cincinnati, a mailman who held on to bulk mail to win a local radio station sweepstakes has been sentenced to 2 years probation and a $500 fine. Michael Wong was sentenced on Friday in U.S. District Court on one count of theft of mail matter. He could have claimed more than $20,000 in cash and prizes if he had not been caught, said Hal Van Tassel, the promotions director for radio station WINK. Now, Van Tassel says Wink sent forms with random six-digit numbers through the mail, which was intended to limit each household to one number. Each day, a number was read over the air, and the person with that number could collect the prize. Wong, who had worked at the Sycamore Branch in Blue Ash, a Cincinnati suburb, was caught in September of 1992 by Postmaster Inspection Service. Authorities say that Wong would not deliver the bulk mail on his route. He would then go home and enter the six-digit numbers into his computer. Inspectors found more than 2,700 WINK inserts in his possession. He had a database with him, and he carries it with him and carried a Walkman and listened for the numbers, Van Tassel said. He was increasing his chances by hundreds. Van Tassel said disc jockeys became suspicious when Wong kept winning. In April of 1992, Wong won $7,000 from the Wink Radio. 2 months later, someone using his address presented the winning ticket for a new Honda Civic. Court document says that he enlisted his supervisor to cash in the numbers for the trip to the Grand Cayman Islands. That's so smart. By the way, I think the newspaper has it wrong. They've got WINK, which I think is still in Florida. I think it was WWNK, if memory serves me right. And that's our silly radio news behind the news here on the DX Audio Service. If you find something in the newspaper or hear about something or tape something on the radio, which has to do with the radio, which is kind of funny and kind of weird, send it to us here at the DX Audio Service, and we'll put it on radio station KRAP for the month. With coffee cup in hand, I've got the juiciest gossip from the radio airwaves. This is Pete Kemp's Radio Roundup on the DX Audio Service. If you have some information about some stations in your area, some juicy, correct gossip, be sure to send it to us here at the DX Audio Service. I'll give Pete Kemp's address in just a second. You can write him a letter or a card here, or send it to him via CompuServe, Fidonet, or by amateur radio packet. Pete writes, "Greetings to all. The rumor mill is ripe that 710 WOR is for sale. The management admits that their helicopter is, but would not confirm or deny that the radio station is. Congratulations to all the radio stations in the devastated Mississippi River areas affected by the recent floods. They certainly provided outstanding service to their communities. WNWZ in Memphis, Tennessee is having quite a time with its recent limited marketing agreement, its LMA, with the Reverend Thaddeus Matthews. The Reverend has defaulted on a financial arrangement and reportedly decided to take things into his own hands, locking out station employees and a lot of legal maneuvering in court, even filing for bankruptcy. Finally, on June the 4th, with the help of the Shelby County Police Department SWAT team, Matthews was turned out of the studios and put off the air. Radio Free New York has been axed at WNWK. President Clinton has nominated Reed Hunt to become the new FCC chairman. WWKB is calling itself the Big One. I guess they like playing games, as they have added Howard Stern to their morning lineup. Former Partridge Family member Danny Bonaduce seems to be having a ball with his new gig on WLUP in the Windy City. Noted newsman Edward P. Morgan has passed away at his home in McLean, Virginia. The news show ran on the ABC network from 1955 to 1967. Dave Albert reported that the Greaseman show is produced at the same studios formerly used by Tom Snyder. The show is in distribution by satellite using the CDAT digital satellite system, or spectrum efficient, as they would say on some of the talk shows. The Armed Forces Radio Service is now carrying the USA Radio Network. Changes on the CD scene may happen if a joint venture between IBM and Blockbuster Video come apart. They are proposing a point-of-sale CD manufacturing unit. Essentially, when a customer comes in to purchase a CD, they can record the CD on the spot when they pay for it. This way, the retail outlet will only have to maintain the masters and not a huge inventory. We'll see what happens to this proposal when ASCAP, BMI, and the labels wait it in and check out that subject. Westwood One has signed Pat Buchanan for a weekly news show to be titled Pat Buchanan and Company. He will be paired with a rotation cast of liberal co-hosts. The show will air from noon until 3 o'clock Eastern Time. The rumor mill has it that Imus is being simulcast on sports station WTEM in our nation's capital. KSDO in San Diego is now airing Rush Limbaugh live and doing away with its tape delay programming. WXMF in Fayetteville, North Carolina, where the all Louie Louie format is in preparation for a transition to an all oldies format. John Williams has joined powerful WCCO's on-air staff doing the afternoon 1 to 3 shift. He's formerly been on WMBD. Tom Likas, ex-KFI 640, has joined the talk staff at Boston, Massachusetts, WRKO. Wild Bill Cody will remain at KWNZ in Reno, Nevada for now. The story goes that he got drunk in a bar and signed a contract to move to the crosstown rival KNDE. When he sobered up, he realized just exactly what he did and it wouldn't be in his best interest. Well, right now the courts are settling this issue. Jonathan Brandmeier is leaving the AM side of things in Chicago to make his afternoon home on WLUP-FM. KLUC has stopped simulcasting its FM sister and has changed its calls to KXNO. By the way, if you haven't already heard, which we think you have, Rush Limbaugh is now doing his thing worldwide. His show is now being carried on WRNO on 15420. KNX's CHP traffic reporter, Sergeant Jill Engel, has turned in her badge to become Bill Keene's replacement at the weather traffic desk during the morning drive team. WOWF in the Motor City has dropped its hot talk in favor of young country programming. The 99.5 station had a very controversial rock and talk format in Motown. KLOS, Mark and Brian are now syndicating their morning show. They may carry, currently be heard on KGON in Portland and KKBB in Bakersfield, California. June 30th was the deadline time for the stations making license applications in the new 1605 to 1705 band. Under the FCC guidelines, those granted a new license will have the opportunity to broadcast on their old frequency for a period of 5 years. DJ and television actor Jay Thomas has been axed at Power 106 in Los Angeles. He has filed suit. The management claims breach of contract. I guess his TV activities have been cutting into his morning show time. Lisa Gibbons, who seems to be all over the place on TV, has added radio versions of Entertainment Tonight and Entertainment This Week to her chores. Her show is now being carried on the Entertainment Radio Network. WCNN has dropped all news for all sports in Atlanta and is hooked up with a sports entertainment network during the middays. Tom Joyner will be back on the air in Chicago when his new syndicated morning show hits the satellite for distribution on January 3rd. WGCI's morning man, Doug Banks, will be moved to the afternoon drive time slot. It's also rumored that CBS Radio Network is mulling over adding a female-oriented talk show to their midday lineup. J.C. Kokorin is back on the air in St. Louis on WFXB. Trivia question. Does anyone know what happened to Chris Noel, who kept all the GIs captivated on AFRTS during the Southeast Asian conflict? Denton has just released their first RDS receiver to the automobile listening world. It's been tagged as the DCR730R. Bob Fitzsimmons, long associated with WNEW in New York, has died at the age of 53. A 30-year veteran of the airwaves, he was a class act in all regards. Newport Richey, Florida, seems like a nice place, so popular talk show host Bruce Williams left the frantic pace of New York City for the sunny shores of Florida. He does his show from WPSO. Here's a programming transition for all of you. WZRC 1480 has gone from Z-Rock to country to all Korean, all within a space of 3 months. Voices over artists rarely get any credit. So here's a great trivia question for you. Who was the voice that said, "The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC," when the old peacock came on the screen? The answer? Mel Brandt. After 29 years of doing overnights on WMAL, Bill Mayhew has been released. His news partner, Larry Krebs, will remain with the station. The Federal Communications Commission is exploring the possibilities of moving its current TIS, Travelers Information Service, from 1610 to 1710. Until new regulations are put into place, current TIS stations will remain on 1610 on a co-primary basis. Only the government could come up with a designation like that. Arbitron is looking into the possibility of overhauling its system, eliminating the book in favor of a 6-week update based on an 18-week average. WJJD in Chicago has picked up the G. Gordon Liddy Show. Hey, here's a little nugget for you. The legendary call sign WCFL is up for sale. Although the CFL call still resides on FM, AM is in a separate deal. So the company that owns it, Media Services Group, through a court receivership action. KWFM is switching from 940 to 790, that just in. If you're into narrowcasting, Rodeo Trails with Butch Thurum will hit the airwaves in January. The show will feature rodeo news, features, and interviews. I couldn't help but be interested in this recent article appearing in the June 18th issue of R&R. Contained therein was an article on WHOT's PD Dick Thompson. One of the illustrations had pictures of the WHOT good guys and the Fabulous 50 Tune Decks. Among the DJs pictured was the National Radio Club's own Jerry Starr. Nice job. Sharp-eyed National Radio Club member Sean Axelrod passed along an article from the Winnipeg Sun newspaper about a local broadcast band DXer by the name of Jim Shaw. He gets up at 3 a.m. daily to listen to the radio and is totally fed up with the satellite-fed programming that abounds. He would like to hear local things. It appears that the CRTC, the FCC's equivalent in Canada, has no programming ratios during the midnight to 6 a.m. time frame. I think that the vast majority of National Radio Club members would agree with him on this one. Kansas City stations KNHN and KSEK have begun to experiment with synchrocasting. When the system is in place, you'll be able to drive from Kansas City, Missouri to the Oklahoma border and listen to 1340 the entire way. Eric Bieneman reports that veteran newscaster Bob Hardy has passed away. He had been with KMOX since 1960 and WIL before that. He hosted the World of Religion on the CBS network and later on AP Radio. KUSA has affiliated with the CNN Headline News people. National Radio Club member Martin Egan reports that WPAT has been fine-tuning its format to improve its demographics. Long a bastion of easy listening, the station is updating their playlist. The station manager says that they are bringing easy listening into the 90s. Well, if you'd like to contribute to this column, it's very easy to do. You can send cards or letters to Pete Kemp, care of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service, Great Northern Broadcast Company, Post Office Box 5031, Lima, Ohio, 45802-5031. Or you can send a message to Pete through CompuServe. His CompuServe account number is 72376,2557. Or you can send a message to Pete Kemp, P-E-T-E-K-E-M-P, in the shortwave, ham, or broadcasting areas of FidoNet. Or if you're an amateur radio operator, you can send a message to Pete, care of KZ1Z at K1UOL.CT. So much for now. That's Pete Kemp's Radio Roundup. Would you believe we've not received a single entry to our contest for the DX Audio Service? Scrambled call letters will keep the contest open until September the 15th. You have to have your answers in by September the 15th. Tell us what these call letters actually are. That one's a gimme, I'll tell you. How about this Fort Lauderdale, Florida radio station?
More music.
And if you'd like a bowl of cereal, a good place to go is Battle Creek, Michigan.
WRFK
Nighttime. Oh, that's a gimme, too. How about this famous station of the 1960s and 70s that's in the same city as a 50,000-watter on 650?
WDAK 1240.
And finally to Milwaukee for this station.
The best of Milwaukee, WTRIP.
Okay, unscramble those call letters and send them to us by September the 15th. That's all for us. We'll see you on next month's DX Audio Service, hopefully without this darn cold.